Welcome back to The Comixologist, coming to you net live from New York City at Slim and Kazam.
We're in another room today. No echo.
We're in the Millennium Falcon. This is great.
Literally called the Millennium Falcon Room. We talk about books that you should be reading, that we think you'll like. You know, we try to spread the comic love around the world. That's our job.
Yeah. There's tons of comics out there. Mm-hmm. There's a comic out there for everyone. Yeah. Let us help you find yours.
And real quick, I just want to mention how hashtag synergy happening this week. I think SummerSlam is in 2 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
You love Arrow. Arrow, yes, is going to be on SummerSlam.
I know. I might have to watch.
A pro wrestler.
I know. I saw the clips, and it's just so precious. Like, it's so goofy, but, like, it's so precious. And I'm sitting there watching these clips of the wrestlings, and I'm like, why do grown adults watch people in spandex on, like, a scripted program that's a quote-unquote sport? And then I stopped myself because I was like, wait a minute. I love superheroes. I can't judge this. It's, like, the same thing.
Oh, boy. We need to get into what's going to happen this episode. We're going to talk about books. We have a conversations podcast that just launched where you and I sit down by the fire and we interview some of our favorite creators and friends.
We have a little chit chat.
And this week, I think Kel McDonald's episode was released.
Yes.
And then Friday, the creators of Chew. Huge show.
Absolutely. Don't miss it.
Let's see. We have a newsletter.
We do.
You and I.
And it's super fun to write.
We talked about,
I hope it's as fun to read.
I hope so. We talked about Fantastic Four last week.
Mm-hmm.
The movie came out.
That is a thing that happened.
It's getting reviews. But
it is.
So if you want to sign up to our newsletter, you can do so in the show notes, which by all means, if you buy any of these books, use the link that Kara spends hours crafting for you.
Please.
Putting those books in a list. Now, let's go through the new release list. Shall we?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that came out today.
Phonogram.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the pitch should just be from the makers of Wicked and the Divine.
Yes.
New issue of Secret Wars.
Bam, bam, bam.
The big Marvel event with Doc Doom. As his friends call him, The Walking Dead. A-Force from Marvel Comics. America Town. Gosh, there's a lot of new books out today.
There's a lot.
The
I read
Beauty
a few of them. Mm-hmm.
From Image. Elves, number 2. Conan Red Sonja. Action Comics, Hip Hop Family Tree, Doctor Who. I remember one time I was chatting you today and I typed out Doctor Who, DR dot.
No.
Who?
Incorrect.
And it was like I slapped you in the mouth. It was the most offensive thing I ever could have said.
Well, I used to do that too before I started watching the show, but then I was like, oh, he's not Doctor Who. His name is The Doctor. That is his title. His title is The Doctor, spelled out. So it's not like his last name is Who. That's just the name of the show.
Mm.
So obviously it's a very, very clear thing to get confused, but his name is The Doctor.
Easiest way to rile up Doctor Who fans, type out Doctor, DR, dot.
Yeah.
She's getting perturbed just by me explaining it. Oh, boy. Let's see what else. Fraggle Rock, Green Arrow. Speaking of Arrow, pro wrestling, got a new issue out.
That was a great callback. Well done.
Thank you. Dynamite, Uncanny, Mandrake, Swords of Sorrow, The X-Files. My gosh. So there's just too much.
I know.
Too much. Satellite Sam, Lando from Marvel. What did you read this week?
What didn't I read this week is a better question. I feel like I downloaded like 30 books. But let's start at the beginning. A very good place to start. When you read, you begin with ABC, and when you sing, you begin with Phonogram. The Immaterial Girl, number 1 of 6, out today. Kieran Gillen, Jamie McKelvey,
mm-hmm.
Matthew Wilson, Clayton Cowles.
Love them all.
Genius creative team. And during our interview with Kieran Gillen that is forthcoming.
It's in the can.
Is forthcoming. He did mention that he wrote The Immaterial Girl like forever ago. Like, it may as well have been a century. So when you're reading it, you have to keep in mind that he wrote, even though he wrote it like a million years ago, it was recently just drawn and colored and lettered and so forth.
Yeah.
So if you're viewing this issue, this series in terms of the canon that this creative team have created, you actually need to go a little bit back in time to think of where it should be in terms of their evolution of ideas, which I thought was very interesting.
What is phonogram about?
So the concept of phonogram is that music is magic, and there are these people called phonomancers who are basically like the witches and wizards who can utilize that specific brand of magic in order to amplify or change perceptions of things around them based on like what music is playing and how they feel about it. And for me personally, because I don't know a lot about music, it's a fascinating look into the minds of people who do like music to this level. I feel like phonogram is a way for people who are like really nerdy about comics, like I am, to learn what it's like to be really nerdy about music. Like, I am personally not really nerdy about music, but like through these books I understand that it's like the same thing, just about different subjects, which I appreciate. And of course I just really like Jamie McKelvey's art like a lot.
Yeah.
And so this first issue, we meet one of the women who's seen in a past phonogram story. All the phonogram trades, all the phonogram stories stand alone, but if you read them all together, you get a deeper sense of the world that these characters are inhabiting. So we're finding more about this girl, and we're seeing it in this first issue through the lens of music videos first hitting the scene back in the 80s.
Great time to be alive.
Clearly. And it seems like it's just like revisiting old friends for people who have been reading Phonogram for forever and said, oh, will there ever be another Phonogram? Yes. And it's here. And you can own it today.
You know, me and my friends used to get together and jam on Guitar Hero, a rock band. We jammed it out pretty hard. One of the hardest bands to ever play. Tool has a song in that game that was like 10 minutes long, and it's impossible.
Did you ever
I don't think we ever beat it.
Oh, it's gotta go back.
You know, we might have to go back, just like Lost. Jack, we have to go back. Now it's my turn.
Yes, what did you read?
I want to talk about a book that really tugged at my heartstrings.
Yes.
If I may.
You may.
A little book called Batman.
Aw.
Batman 43 is out this week. And as you may or may not know, Bruce Wayne / Batman, quote unquote, died at the end of the Joker storyline. It's not a spoiler. It's happened ages ago. And he has been replaced by Commissioner Gordon. Commissioner Gordon wears like a big mech bat suit to be Batman in Gotham City.
Wait, did he also, I know you. We talked about this before, but remind me, did he de-age, or do they just decide that anyone playing Batman has to be ruggedly handsome?
He's been taking something I call sexy juice. He's been drinking that at every panel. He shaved his head and he's been working out. Although in this issue, he makes a joke that I can't tell is a joke, that he says he's got like implants. Like, I don't know if he's got like muscle implants or something, because Commissioner Gordon is like really old looking in the other
issues. But now he's like
now
a silver fox.
He is a silver fox. So in this issue, he tracks down Bruce Wayne, who is not dead in Gotham, and he says he needs his help to investigate this villain's something he found that gives like people superpowers, kind of. So he's like, Mr. Wayne, I need your help. I know you built the technology that Batman uses.
Oh, okay. And
you built the suit that I'm wearing. Can you help me with this? And Bruce Wayne's like, I don't know anything about that. I'm not that guy anymore.
I'm not a detective. What are you talking about?
And what is even deeper than that, he has no recollection of that life. He's got a beard. He works at a like rec center that Lucius Fox built, I think. So he's like helping troubled youth, pretty much.
So Batman's off the grid?
He's off the grid.
Helping troubled youth. He's just making a legion of Robins. We all know it's coming.
And it goes a little bit deeper than that. The reason why I love this issue is Alfred tells the story of how he came upon Batman at the end of the Joker storyline. I don't want to spoil it too much, so maybe fast forward if you want to read it. He tells Clark Kent, because he's hanging out with Kent, and they're
Clark,
trying to...
Clark Kent, who everyone knows as Superman now?
Yeah, okay. Alfred and Clark are driving around, like, hanging out by this rec center that Bruce is in, and Clark's like, I don't know what the heck's going on here. That's Batman. I don't know why he's acting this way, but Alfred tells him the story of how he was prepared to find Bruce's dead body at the end of the Joker storyline.
Ooh.
And what happened was he found him alive and well, and he called him his, he's like, I found my Bruce.
Oh.
So it was like,
Oh, God.
And eventually Bruce finds out about his troubled, like, childhood. He doesn't know anything about the Batman aspect, but.
So he just has amnesia, like, straight up?
Yeah, like, pretty much amnesia, and Alfred relates this to, this is the Bruce Wayne that should have been. Like, had his parents not died and stuff. So it's really great. And the storytelling in the issue is fantastic by Scott Snyder. So that's not, there's some stuff I left out that is really super spoilery, but definitely buy the issue and read it. It's great.
It sounds so cute, but also heartbreaking.
Yeah. Because I'm sure something bad's going to happen where he becomes Batman again. But the really cool aspect is.
But now he has a beard, so it's okay.
He's got an amazing beard. He's probably drinking the sexy juice that Commissioner Gordon is using. What else did you read?
String Divers, number one, out today. It is about this android team that is shrunk down by these scientists to the subatomic level to investigate the things in our world that we can't see.
Love.
So it's like a sci-fi adventure story. And of course, issue one, getting introduced to the characters, stuff happens. Maybe there's rifts in reality that we can't see. Maybe that's a problem. It was really fun. It was like subatomic spelunking.
Wow.
And androids. I mean, androids going on science things. And there were a couple pages in this book where they like pause for a minute and explain string theory. Whoa. In a way that was really accessible. And I'm a person who loves science but doesn't always understand it. So when I get accessible reads like this where it's like, here's science and here's also science fiction and we're going to have fun with them together. And I was like, yes, let's do that. Because we don't actually know a lot about things happening on the subatomic level. So perhaps there are tiny little androids running around down there. We just don't know.
You never know.
I don't know. Divers know.
You have to read to find out.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works.
What else did you read?
Oh, gosh. Black Panther. You heard of this guy?
Maybe once or twice, but fill me in.
He's got some kind of Marvel movie in the works. Black Panther had a previous series by Christopher Priest and Mark Teixeira, who used to draw some Wolverine issues when I grew up, you know, back in the aughts, whenever that was. Who knows? Black Panther number one, which came out Tuesday on our app, is from the point of view of a handler in charge of managing the Black Panther as he travels from Wakanda, his, you know, dwelling, to America. So he's kind of like he's viewed as like a politician, like a foreign emissary who needs like a following and like a staff to maintain that nothing bad happens while he's on American soil.
Right.
So this guy is telling the story to his boss about like what went wrong during this time. So it's like a flashback of Black Panther coming to America to find out why this young little girl was murdered in America and the hijinks that this handler gets into while Black Panther is like on the hunt, just beating people up, trying to get answers. And it was the first, I think this might be the first Black Panther story I ever read. I think John Romita Jr. did a Black Panther series, but I love Mark, the artist. His stuff on Wolverine was like, he drew a Wolverine that was like super tall, like a Hugh Jackman Wolverine back in the day. So it blew my face off when I was a kid. But if you're interested to see, you know, the Black Panther movies coming out, maybe you want to know more about who that character is, then this is a great place to start.
Nice.
There you go.
Very cool.
What else?
The Beauty. Number one, out today, Jeremy Hahn, Jason Hurley, art Jeremy Hahn, color John Rauch. Rauch? Rauch? Rauch. Phonographics on lettering and design. Good golly, this book, the concept, there is a new sexually transmitted disease that people are referring to as the beauty. Because if you contract it, you become gorgeous, much like ourselves today.
I don't see a downside here.
You run a slight fever.
Oh, boy.
The whole time that you have it. But you are the hotness when you have this disease. And there's tension between the people who have the beauty and the people who don't have it. Because the people who don't have it are like, oh, but it's a disease. Like, why would I want a disease? Mm-hmm. We don't, it's like a new thing. Why would I willingly contract that? And the people who have it, some of them got it on purpose. Some of them got it accidentally and don't like having it. And you really see some of that tension between like what happens if suddenly half the world's population basically look like supermodels mm-hmm. and the other half don't. And we're introduced to this world through the lens of a crime scene investigation. Two detectives trying to figure out what happened to a woman who had the beauty who looks like she got burned up from the inside out on the subway.
Oh, no. Is that the side effect? You get burned up on the inside out?
To be continued.
Oh, jeez. I don't want it anymore. I changed my mind.
And it's so fascinating. And I really enjoy... Already in the first issue, the two detectives who are investigating this thing, I already get a sense of who they are and what their partnership is like. Even like none of it was really shoved in my face, but just by the way that they interact, I get it. And as someone who went through high school with English teachers saying, show, don't tell, this was a huge huge moment of show, don't tell, and I really appreciated it.
Hmm. What about The Legend of Bold Riley? Tell me about this book.
New issue out today, and I felt like I needed to walk through the woods or something after I read it, because...
Go on a personal journey?
I needed a personal journey after reading this issue, because it transported me. This issue is great, because you don't... There are other Bold Riley stories, but you don't need to have read any of them to enjoy this issue, because it's split into two smaller stories, the first of which is a creation myth about the world that our heroine, Bold Riley, lives in, and it was stunning. I've never seen a creation myth like this, and I just got really... drawn in, and I just felt like I needed to like walk barefoot over some grass or something afterwards. Maybe walk by the beach, hear the motion of the ocean. And the second story was about Bold Riley getting herself into a wrestling competition.
Mm.
And I just, it's, oh man, this art. I need to learn how to talk about art in comics more articulately. But this one felt like something that I would have seen in animation, but there's like a more painterly quality to it
mm-hmm.
that made everything a bit softer and matched the mythic elements of the first story, which I really liked.
Yeah, the book, if you go back to like kind of the original season or the original issue, Bold Riley comes from a wealthy, like seemingly wealthy family. She's the girl out of three children, and she decides that staying at home and in the town isn't her calling, and she wants to travel. She kind of has to like give up her heir to the throne
mm-hmm.
or her own heir to the throne. I don't know what we call that, heiress to the throne.
Her claim.
That's the word I was looking for. Where's that thesaurus at?
It's right here. She, my brain.
She decides to leave and gets on a horse and decides to discover the world. And on her journeys, each issue drawn by a very different, capable artist with their own extreme style, almost. And she encounters, there's one issue where she walks upon a crying woman. She tells a story about her husband wronged her, and she's like, don't worry, I'll go out and find out what happened. And it just leads to this very exotically interesting story about what happened to her, but also like two or three other wives that were wronged by the same man.
Oh.
And then another issue, she comes upon a very friendly town where they offer her to take a bath, but there's something that they didn't tell her about the bath. And each issue is just kind of like a I really just like this, the phrase slice of life, but it cracks me up. But it's like just a singular tale in her journey.
It's a peek at her trip.
Yeah, and it was really well done. It's a very different style of storytelling that I'm used to, and you kind of wish that there would, like, the analog to this would be like a Wonder Woman character who's almost godlike and is revered when she walks upon the town, because Bold Riley is very stunningly gorgeous, and she gets there and she just wants to help the townspeople in any way she can. And it was a really very good read. I was surprised how much I liked it, actually.
Well, we have a convert.
I have been converted. And if you would like to be converted, we have a special, we talk to the creators, you know, we're dear friends now with the creators. We talked about how we could help get people to read The Legend of Bold Riley, both the previous run and the new issue that came out today. So if you wanted to get the entire first trade, which is 200 pages for 50% off, and the new issue for 50% off, you can go to comixology.com/redeem and enter Bold Pod, BOLDPOD. So you'll get the new issue for 50% off and the trade for 50% off. And I highly recommend it. Yeah. Gorgeous book.
Especially if you're someone who's been looking for a really great story about, with a leading female hero who happens to be a person of color, you'll really like this book.
Hashtag...
Actually, this sounds like it could work for everyone. Everyone, go get this book. We gave you a discount.
50% off. Bold Pod.
What a way to get through your week.
Anything else we want to talk about before we wrap up and head back to read more books? And prepare for our newsletter?
For real. I wanted to talk super briefly about Dragon Ball. I
never heard of it.
Grew up in the 90s when Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z were on Cartoon Network. I watched that show, those shows, constantly, and I just remember when I was like 10, I think, they were airing the Frieza saga, and it took forever because the fight scenes would drag on for like 4 episodes. And I was like, God, you already sliced him in half. Like, why aren't they dead already? Stop. Anyway, so, and it's one of those series where, like, I was watching it, but, you know, I was a kid, so I wasn't necessarily like memorizing every single plot that was happening. It was just like the characters were familiar to me and the setting was familiar to me, and it was like fun and colorful and there were adventures and it was great. And we have the Dragon Ball manga series on Comixology. So I said, huh, I've never read the manga. Let's fix that. So I've started reading.
I can picture you at your desk just like talking out loud to yourself doing all this too.
But I do that.
Freaking out everyone
but
around
like,
you.
Like, I do that. I should read Dragon Ball. So I picked up the first manga and I just blew through it last night. Incredible. What a way to revisit a piece of my childhood, but in the way that the creator Akira Toriyama originally envisioned it as, and picking up pieces that I lost. Like, I never really saw the first few episodes of Dragon Ball, so now I figure out how it all starts and who's who and what's what. I had no idea that Goku met his wife when they were both like small children. I had no idea. For real. I'm sorry. Anyway, if like me, you remember very fondly the Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT animes from back in the day, you will super appreciate revisiting the Dragon Ball manga, where it all began.
Wow. I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Dragon Ball Z.
What? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. What?
I don't know what was also airing around that same time that I was at watching. Maybe Batman the Animated Series? I don't know if it was around the same time.
Did you not watch Toonami? How could you not have watched Toonami?
I was probably watching ECW VHS tapes of pro wrestling in Philadelphia.
What am I supposed to do with you?
I mean, in 2 weeks, SummerSlam, Arrow will be wrestling at SummerSlam against Stardust. What more do you need?
I need you to watch Dragon Ball Z,
If you watch SummerSlam next Sunday, I will watch an episode of Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, God, which one do I pick? Should I just make you read the manga instead?
Maybe, yeah, but that'd probably were a comics podcast. Maybe I should read the comic instead.
We'll figure it out.
We're out of time. We're so out of time right now.
But, yeah, we got to stop. But Don't forget that we will have our newsletter out this Friday.
Oh, yeah.
You can write to us at any time, letters@comixology.com, and we'll respond to you on the podcast. We will have links to all the books that we talked about.
Use those links.
Yes, please use those them. Links. Pretty please, with sugar on top.
Is that a marketing term? Is that a trackable quote?
Pretty please with sugar and sparkles on top. Use our links. Okay, thanks.
What a show.
Yes, thank you all for joining us. We hope that we've piqued your interest in some of the new books that came out today. Really, really quick, something that Matt did not mention.
Uh-oh.
The second issue of the Star Trek Green Lantern crossover came out today.
Really?
Get on that.
Maybe you should write in the newsletter about your pitch for the Star Trek Green Lantern book.
Maybe I will.
But you've probably already pre-written the next 30 newsletters, so we don't even have any room for them.
Yeah, it gets real in October, y'all. You should definitely sign up before October.
All right, goodbye, everybody.
Bye.